Matters. Welcome to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM and ExcellentCultures.com podcast. My name is Zach Gandra, and as always, the ultimate famous, the wise, the elder, Steve Gandra is on the show with us again today.
What I want to know is how come you said elder with more force than the other comment?
You got more gray hair than I do.
You know, that just means that's just wisdom.
However, I have had gray hairs popping up in my beard lately.
But you pluck them out, right?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I've heard if I pluck them, does that mean more gray comes back?
I don't know. I mean, our guest today is wise on all sorts of things,
including gray hairs.
So we're gonna,
great. That's a wonderful intro.
Although she doesn't have many, so we're going to ask her. We're going to ask Jillian about this.
Awesome. Well, right before we get with Jillian Musig, we're excited to have her on the show today, and we're going to turn her on in just a minute. But Steve, give us a little update. Right now, we're doing some wonderful stuff with Toyota, Toyota USA, and we're doing some other stuff with Sheehy Automotive and some different things. Give us a little update of what's happening around the country and what you're seeing. And
lots of changes happening in culture. Was actually, you know, we're working on early stages of a project with a very large, very famous technology company that we can't mention on the air today. But you know, people are realizing more and more that the difference of culture in the effectiveness of a business is more important than ever before.
Right.
You know, and we talk all the time about that, you know, culture is a solution to every business problem, and it's the root behind every business situation or circumstance. I mean, it's really everything if your business involves people.
Absolutely.
And where it gets a little challenging, and that's why I'm so glad that we have Jillian on the show today, because she's an expert in what's going on, and you know, at the cutting edge of technology. But the key in companies of the future is kind of where people and culture and technology all come together and make something beautiful that you know, turns into service and to their customers, and you know, increases to the shareholders. And that balance and that mix that just kind of flows together and connects is huge for the firms that have learned how to do it and do it well.
Absolutely. And continue to grow in that and get better at it and find that transparency and working together within the business is a great thing. We're excited about that. But let's get to our guest today. We want to introduce her and turn her on so that you guys can hear from her. Jillian Musig is... She has more Twitter followers than you do.
I think she has more followers than most people on the planet.
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead.
But I mean, Zach, that's because she's retired.
And she's brilliant. So I'm going to go ahead and turn her on here, Steve. And why don't you open up? Tell us who Jillian is. We're excited to have you on the show, Jillian.
Hi. It's good to be here. I've been really enjoying listening to the two of you, and I love the intro.
Yeah, all the craziness, you know, we never know what's going to come out, but, you know, that's what's fun about
it. Steve calls it craziness. I call it normal conversation.
Yeah, I don't know. You're both walking on pretty thin ice there with the gray hair.
Why do you think he had your switch flipped off so you couldn't say anything?
Yeah.
That's right.
I was like, we'll give her moment in a minute.
So here's the secret about the gray hair. I don't know why you guys just don't get on the bandwagon. The color comes out of a bottle. It can be anything
you
want.
All right. It does. I'll say this. Go ahead. You were going
to
say
my wife's been after me to get some color out of the bottle for a while. I should probably start listening.
I don't think you should. I think you should just leave it.
So guys are distinguished with gray hair.
They are.
And get old.
That's right. My wife.
Like reality, we just deal with it.
Yeah. My wife's 35, and she's had gray hair since she was 16 years old. So. She's a lifer when it comes to coloring.
Yeah, she's a good lifer. That's why she works in the makeup industry.
My husband turned gray and then white very early in life, as did his mother. His mother was therefore a model for Clairol.
Oh, wow.
Early on.
Oh, wow.
Because her hair was pure white.
Amazing.
And that was really cool, right? In terms of my spouse, he turned white very early, thank goodness, because otherwise I get old all alone. Perfectly well. He still doesn't wear glasses. He has no cavities.
Wow.
It's really awful. It's just awful.
Getting old is a team sport in your family.
That's what I would think, but not so much.
That is a bit unfair. I've never had a cavity either. Steve, have you had a cavity?
I had one cavity, and that was when the dentist convinced me that there was one, because I think they were just wanting to sell a drilling job.
Yeah,
I
mean, whatever.
I don't go to that dentist.
They're not salesmen. If you have a cavity, you have a cavity.
Now I got a dentist that works with me. You know, his people skills are a lot better than the last guy.
Well, tell us a little bit about what you know of Jillian.
Well, one of the main things that impressed me about Jillian when I first met her and really wanted to get her on the show is not just her brilliance in the field of entrepreneurialism and turning that into a corporate culture that's extremely effective and productive, but not only is she, a founder of a high-tech company that's really rocking at the top of its field these days, but she has been through the transitionary process and turned it over. You know, she breeds brilliant CEOs. I mean, her son Rand is the current CEO of Moz, formerly SEO Moz, and her other son is probably one of the brightest SEO and search engine optimization, for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, but internet marketing wizards on the planet today. So not only is she good at what she does, but she knows how to reproduce herself in ways that make her life easier,
right,
and her kids more productive. Which she's affectionately awesome. Known at Moz as SEO Mom.
That's also her Twitter tag.
Yeah, SEO Mom.
SEO Mom.
I was going to say, I'm known around the web and around the world as SEO Mom. I have close to 500,000 people that happily call me Mom.
Nice.
And I must correct them every time. Only those who I give birth to. So I was going to say, my biggest tip in business for anybody out there listening, thinking about entrepreneurship, is raise your CEO first.
There you go.
It's a little bit of a long play. You got to get through the diapers and the braces and whatever. Yeah, but it's worth it. You raise your CEO, you know the metal you've got.
Yep, there you go.
So you know
what you're dealing with, and you can.
That's right.
And transparency as a whole in a family is at a whole different level than at many corporations.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a pleasure to be here. It's a pleasure to talk about the kinds of things we did over at Moz. As you mentioned, I think it's even on your business card, perhaps, culture eats strategy for breakfast. Wasn't that the line that I saw?
Yeah, we swiped that.
Your email.
Yeah, we swiped that from Peter Drucker.
Yeah.
That's right. It's a very famous line and well worth remembering. We certainly believe it over at Moz. And I would say that there were a number of things that we've done mindfully at Moz, but an awful lot that we did not mindfully.
Well,
we did it because we brought our personal values to the corporate marketplace.
Well, it worked.
It became codified later.
Yeah, it worked. And that's why we want you to tell us all about Moz, how you got started, how you built the tag fee values and turned it into reality. And then also, Jillian, tell our listeners about the work that you're doing today in mentoring entrepreneurs and CEOs around the globe, both online and in person. I mean, our listeners love to hear stuff like that.
Absolutely. So I guess I'll start off with the work I am doing today. There's a time in life when you say, oh boy, I get to grow up. What do I want to do next? That came for me with a partial exit at Moz. Moz was not a short-term play. It started in 2004, but it had the long end of the hockey stick holding it up. It was a company known as Outlines, or Outlines West at the time, and that had gone on since 1982. It was a traditional marketing company, and then it became Moz. As I graduated from Moz, I stepped down as the founding president last year in June, so I've just been a little over a year now. I was able to turn my attention to that thing that I love the most, and that is entrepreneurship. I was the business party or the business person to brilliant technologists. And so for me, the Wizard of Moz is Rand Fishkin, and that's my eldest son. He is the CEO and, if you will, the technology mindset behind the tool set, behind the industry, and behind the ideas that drive the company. I was the business end of it, right? It was my job to make sure that the rent was paid and to worry about whether it could be paid. I always say that the purpose of the business person is to protect the technologist. If your wizard is thinking about anything except what's next, you're losing money. So it's your job to think about whether the coffee was made or whether it was purchased, and again, whether the rent was paid or whether it could be paid.
Wow.
It's
wow.
the other person's job to think about what's next.
Yeah. Wow. Well, you guys did a great job of making it work and really becoming world-renowned experts. When I had the good fortune of attending the MozConf, your conference that is sponsored, that people attend from all over the world, not too long ago, I was so impressed that, you know, I'm talking to people from South Africa, from Australia, from, you know, Texas, from the UK, from Asia, from all over the world, who gather in Seattle to learn from you guys.
That's right.
Yeah.
It is a conference. It's an annual event. It began in 2007, actually, with Rand standing on a stage for 8 hours. He spoke to 125 people. We'd sold 100 tickets. This happens all the time. I'm not quite sure how it happens, but there are always more people than tickets. And as we went forward, we now have about 1,600 people at the event. This was at the Washington Convention Center. Until now, we've had it at hotels in the local area. But we don't have sponsors. We don't have booths. We don't have an expo hall. We have no corporate coverage except, of course, from Moz. And people do come from all over the world. What I say is they light up SeaTac Airport like fireflies, and they make this city glow for an entire week.
Yeah.
It's very, very exciting to see. And the camaraderie and the support is part of that event. And that's part of the culture that you and I talk about, Steve. This is not just about learning about technological bits and pieces, or even business bits and pieces, which we added then this year at MozCon. It is about sharing the experience of being who you are with those who do similar things from around the world. And that's a corporate culture that has expanded to what I call a brand community. Brand community marketing is the next big thing. It's what the social platforms enable us to do. Social platforms are just that. They're just platforms. They are not in themselves communities. It's what we create on those platforms that become those communities. And this is how community works. You build it from the inside out. We did it at Moz, and I've done it for many other companies now, both large and small, right? Because that's what I do for a living these days, right? I mentor CEOs. But how we did it at Moz, both tactically and figuratively, if you will, is as follows.
Jillian, let's hold that thought. I'm going to go to a break. We're going to take our first break, and this is our first lead-in to Here's How They Did It at Moz. All right, guys, there you go. Biz Culture Matters. We're with Jillian Musick. We'll be right back.
Remember Ross Perot, the Texas millionaire who ran for president in the early 90s? Did you realize that he's built multiple companies that sold for billions? Each of his companies held a strong values-based culture. We interviewed his CFO and COO. His insightful comments on the role of culture in business are posted on the Culture News blog at excellentcultures.com. Take a look. You'll gain wonderful insights to building your own excellent cultures on excellentcultures.com. You can also follow us at XLNTCultures or Facebook/Excellent Cultures.
Off-the-cuff management is old school at the very least. With culture at the root of every business problem or success, data-driven strategic leadership is where today's best businesses are focused. No one knows that better than Excellent Cultures. After 35 years, they are the Northwest's premier strategic leadership firm. Excellent Cultures has the expertise to read the soul of your business and generate abundance. Take the free Biz Culture MRI or ask the experts at excellentcultures.com.
As an executive, CEO, or business owner, do you find yourself struggling with work-life balance and achieving your goals at work and home? Are you overwhelmed in your workload and feel important things aren't getting done? Our coaches specialize in helping leaders like you overcome challenges and build a plan to recenter their life, to achieve the balance and success you've always hoped for in your business and your personal life. Ask the experts at Excellent Cultures about the right plan for you.
And we're back with Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM and excellentcultures.com. Jillian, you were just going into how you did all of this culture stuff with Moz. Will you go back there to where you were talking about before?
Absolutely. We were building a culture at Mars, and we built it from the inside out. What I said was that brand community marketing is the next big thing. It's what we build on our social platforms.
So excuse me for interrupting you, but I want to make sure that our listeners get this, because I'm just getting it myself. And I mean, one of the things that I learned when I was talking to all these brilliant people from all over the world is that SEO is no longer what's that critical in the whole business of web marketing. But does that mean that SEO is now becoming brand community marketing? Is that what we're going to hear a lot about next?
The whole thing was about digital marketing or marketing on the internet. Steve, it's just new tools and toys. We've been doing the things that we do forever. We've been doing social media since we sat around a fire and went, ugh, right? We spoke, we communicated, we connected.
Yep.
We just have new tools and toys to work with. Remember when the telephone was new and the whole world was going to go to hell in a handbasket?
Yep.
And the reason was that people would be able to talk with each other, speak with each other, without seeing each other face to face, without a calling card and showing up at your door. My God, the world was going to go to, pieces.
Yeah.
But we survived, and then there was a fax.
Yeah.
And then you could write things, and it would be next door in a heartbeat, right? Not just putting it in the post and taking it forever to the next person. And then we got computers, and they've got internet for computers now. Yes, that joke really works, right? And it's just new tools and toys. That's all. We are doing the same things. So what I'm saying is go back to those personal values. For example, I find a number of companies, especially major enterprises, are really kind of terrified about this whole idea. What happens if we permit this kind of open conversation in the social space, if we don't just use it to advertise? Well, people might say bad things. They might not like us. They might complain. Well, how about looking at it from the other way? If I do you a kindness on a personal level, it would never occur to you not to say thank you. There are all kinds of people talking about you on the web, good stuff and bad stuff. It doesn't matter whether your brand is large or small. The larger your brand, the more people are talking about you, good stuff and bad stuff. That ship sailed. The least you could do is hop in there and say thank you to those who spoke kindly of you.
So are you saying that it's no longer about, okay, let's get our algorithm out and find out, what the hottest search words are, and we find ways to manipulate who we are into those packaged phrases so that everybody gets to see us, but it's more about building the right culture with the right values and living it, and then because of social media, the rest kind of takes care of itself? Is that kind of what you're saying, Jillian?
It would be, but it's a little bit different than that. What I'm really saying is it never was not about the culture. It never was not about how you treat each other. It was never not about building a better way to live and work together. And it was never not about doing that inside your own company first. What's different now is with the tools and toys we have. First, yes, it was important, and it remains important, to get the specifics right. Learn to speak to search engines. These are bots. They are blind and deaf and dumb. They are made of ones and zeros. It's extraordinary that they do what they do. So, yes, get that stuff in order. But technical SEO is kind of built in. It's baked into what we create on the web these days. And the search engines themselves, who will organize the pages of the web, report to others, those of us who are searching, what we would like to see when we would like to see it, right? They're getting better at finding all of these things and communicating with webmasters who are creating the content. It becomes, if you will, much less important simply because it's easier to do. Remember when it was terribly important to change the oil in your car all the time?
Yep.
It's less important only because, not because the car needs less clean oil, it's just that it kind of happens every few months. You take it down, somebody takes care of it, and you're done. Cars work differently. Again, the web becomes more mature, and it works differently. Here is the major difference between what we did and what we do. What we did was to bring our personal values to the corporate marketplace. Good or bad, we brought them. As a society and individually, every manager, director, and CEO. And when we got there and we developed cultures within those companies, again, good or bad, right, they were developed from the inside out. Here's the difference. The truth will out every time and everywhere. In history, the truth has outed Henry Ford to Rockefeller to Morgan, all of those. But now it happens in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Because even if you have ironclad agreements with all of your staff that they must not even have a Facebook account or a Twitter account or Pinterest or whatever, right, let alone talk about you on those platforms, you have no such agreements with their spouses, their siblings, their children, their parents, their friends, the people next door across the table there who are sitting there listening to them complain while they're having lunch, or your customers, and especially your customers. You have no such agreements with your customers. The truth will out. However it is that you do business, how you treat your people, your customers, how your people treat each other, how ideas flow or do not flow through your organization, how you address the changes and the winds of time, they will all out. And they will do it in a heartbeat. The internet and social media platforms in particular have robbed us of the ability to spin the message.
Yeah,
take that one
true.
And
that
worry
so
about it at night.
That is so
weird. We're at a lunch place today, and I hopped on Yelp immediately and was like, this place was delicious. I'm going to let everybody know on Yelp. I mean, it was
there
instant.
Yeah.
Well, we
right.
couldn't figure out, as good as the food was in this little place, we couldn't figure out why there weren't more people there. And then we checked Yelp, and the reviews were phenomenal, and then found out after talking to the proprietor that most of their business, you know, comes in the evening, and we were having lunch there. But you're right. I mean, it all comes out. So Jillian,
yes,
tell us, I mean, we know that the tag fee, you know, values, and listeners, you'll find out what that stands for here in a second from Jillian. The tag fee values are what you brought, you know, to work, you know, from home when you began the business. Tell us more about what they are, what they mean, and how, you know, to me, what's so impressive is not that, you know, you have these beautiful, wonderful God, mom and apple pie, you know, God and country kind of statements, but that they're lived, and they're not lived manipulatively, they're lived because that's who you are, and that's who the company has become. Tell us about your vision for that, what you thought about it when you first began, and what advice you could give to our listeners about, you know, this business of bringing your values to work instead of creating something that has marketing savvy and trying to sell it.
Yeah. I started a company in 1982. I was glorified unemployed. I wanted to have children, and I did. I had three, and it was wonderful. But I also felt that if I had them, I would like not to have to give them away again immediately. I would like to take care of them and be with them. So for me, being a consultant made all kinds of good sense. Of course, I had the leisure of having a spouse in our home, and he went off to the Boeing company and put one foot in front of the other for some 30 years. When you have that leisure, you can do things like that. But there was not really another major company where I might have, for example, taken the infant with me to work or made some kind of arrangement so that I might work at home sometimes and, I don't know, just come up with a more flexible schedule where both parents could have done that and become more deeply involved in their children's lives. It seemed to me that since the population procreates and takes care of itself, that maybe our corporate structures could do something about supporting that and making this nuclear family a little stronger, because it was evident to me already that a lot of that stuff was crumbling. So I looked at that and I thought, well, I can't find a circle I'd like to play in, so I'm going to make my own circle. And that's what I did. For a long time, I was glorified unemployed. I was a consultant. But as the children grew, so did the company. And as that company grew, I thought, now it isn't just about me that I wanted to do something. There are a whole lot of other people who want to do it too. So I had, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. I took that kind of basic principle and said, I would like to make a company that I would like to work for. A place, for example, where the simplest thing that got put in place first was there was no vacation time. It was just time. There was no personal time, medical time, this time. I do not ever want to have to or to hear someone get on a phone and say, I'm sick, because they needed some time off. Why would you force people to lie to you to take a specific kind of time off because they needed to do something else?
Yeah, you're scaring the daylights out of the HR execs that are listening to us right now. But
okay,
keep
well,
it coming.
HR
this is wonderful.
Terrified. Yeah. They are forcing people able to lie.
Yeah.
And collectively, this planet creates its, you know, they create their patterns, they create their Hitlers, and they create their Lincolns. We create good or evil collectively, and collectively this is evil, to force people to lie. Because you have put in place regulations that don't permit people to simply say the truth, to be transparent, which is the first letter, tag fee, right? To be transparent and just say, I need some time off.
Excellent.
That's
time.
That's all it takes, right?
Excellent.
So, if you need to pick up your kids, go get them. If you need to take off and play with the baby, go do it, whatever the heck it is. It's just time.
Yeah.
Get your work done, do other stuff, live a balanced life, and here we go. That was the first thing we put in place.
And we're going to go into a break before. We're going to go into a break, so listeners keep listening, and we're going to stop everybody that's listening from quitting your job right now to come work for Moz.
Yeah.
Put it on hold for a second.
Yeah, put it on hold.
And we'll be right back with SEO Mom and Jillian Music. You're listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM.
ExcellentCultures.com is always interviewing leaders committed to cultural leadership, excellence, and change. These leaders, like Russell Freeman, Ross Perot's COO, and Bob Hinton, CPA and Moss Adams Managing Partner, have world-class ideas. As advocates for creating a strong corporate culture that builds people and serves customers with excellence, they share breakthrough business ideas. Gain insights from Russell, Bob, and others on the Culture News blog at excellentcultures.com.
Off-the-cuff management is old school at the very least. With culture at the root of every business problem or success, data-driven strategic leadership is where today's best businesses are focused. No one knows that better than Excellent Cultures. After 35 years, they are the Northwest's premier strategic leadership firm. Excellent Cultures has the expertise to read the soul of your business and generate abundance. Take the free Biz Culture MRI or ask the experts at excellentcultures.com.
Has business taken over your life? Are you living to work or working to live? Stress, broken marriages, neglected relationships, and poor health are symptoms of a life out of balance. The right coaching plan can have transformational impact on the quality of your performance at work, depth of relationships at home, and personal sense of well-being. Ask the experts at Excellent Cultures how coaching can help you maximize your life and optimize your work. Stop struggling to survive. Ask the experts at Excellent Cultures how coaching can help you maximize your life and optimize your work.
So before the break, we were talking to Jillian about her view of cultures that force people to lie just to keep the policy straight, as opposed to just telling the truth, and the importance of, or even the difference between living transparently and just having a nice, beautiful value written on the wall or on the website that promotes it. Keep going, Jillian. We hadn't got to the A yet.
So we're going to, just so everybody's clear on the radio, we're going to tag fee, TAGFEE. We just did T, which is transparency. And go ahead, Jillian.
You can look it up. Just pop tag fee, the word, into any search engine, and the tag fee code will come up, so you can read all about it.
Perfect.
It stands for transparency, authenticity, generosity, fun, empathy, and exceptional work. I should tell everybody here very clearly, I did not write tag fee. Rand wrote tag fee, and I cried when he did. I always say, he wrote tag fee, I taught him to be tag fee.
Yeah.
And that, for me, was extraordinary. That was
great.
My mark on Moz.
Well, but that's so awesome, because those were your values, and he just crystallized them and put them in writing where other people could understand what they're all about. And I mean,
that's right.
And that's
tag fee was codified in 2009 with a code for the office to work with.
Yeah.
Right. At that point, we had become enough people that it was important that somehow we made sure that it was codified and that people understood what it was that we stood for. It was more than just we stand for that. It does come from the top down. Culture comes from the top down. But it was more than that. We wanted to make sure that we worked with folks who resonated with those ideas. And that's a different idea. You want to work with people who resonate with the ideas that you want to codify here. I always say that the time for top-down companies is really a little over, in which you say, I've got the company. Who wants to work for me? It's rather, I have an idea. Who wants to build it with me?
That's good.
And if you want to attract the best and the brightest, after the minimum viable paycheck, right, it's not about the money. It's about what kind of a company you are, how you're building it, what you're building, the importance of, if you will, the problem you're solving, and the way you treat each other and the world around you. So TAGC is our code, and that's the way we've been building it. The second one about authenticity. It is to be who you are and what you are, and not, again, to have to pretend to be something else to move forward. One of the things that we've put into place is two sets of ways to move up at Moz. The only way to move up in many, many cultures, if you will, companies, is to become a manager, and not everyone is. They don't make good managers, and they fail when you put them in those kinds of positions. So not wanting to be and not being good at it, or both, is a really bad way to have to move up. If it's your only path, it's the only thing you can do. We have another way, and that's to become, if you will, an expert, a wizard in a particular area of expertise, to have others tap into your wisdom and leverage your value to the company, but you don't have to manage other human beings. It's a whole nother skill. Think about those kinds of things when you think about authenticity. That's only one example.
Yeah, it's a great example, though. I mean, how many companies do we talk to today that are stuck because they've forced people into being managers just to advance in their careers, who never wanted to be a manager, aren't gifted in being a manager, and were never trained to be a manager?
That's right.
They just became one because that's the only way that they could advance in the company culture.
Right. If the only way to increase your paycheck is to do that, that's really foolish. And one of the things is that you also waste the value of the person when you do that, because the huge value of a deep thinker, a scientist, whatever, is really in their ability to get deeply into that. And if they're busy trying to manage somebody and having the stress of doing what they cannot do well, it's absolute insanity. So, yeah. Yeah, insane for a number of ways. So there's transparency and authenticity. The next is generosity. And that has to do with generosity of spirit. So you would think that a number of companies have this already. You would think about things like being accepting of all people and all manners and ways and so on. That's an important piece. Generosity is also about giving. And it might be considered, if you will, tithing and so on. That's nice. Or corporate giving. That's nice as well. But in-kind giving is most valuable, I find, in very strong cultures. It isn't about the money that a company might give away, but about the time, the people, and the effort. So, for example, we had somebody contacted Rand to begin with, or no, it was Jen Lopez. This person contacted Jen Lopez, who is our community manager at Moz. So that's a pretty important position, the community director at Moz. And she forwarded this email to Rand, the CEO, and said, this guy needs our help. I know we don't do consulting, but could we help him out a bit? And Rand got an email with this fellow and helped him out a bit. In other words, he gave him a number of tactical things to do about organizing information and documents and pages on his website, helping him to put together the blog and so on, so that he would get some coverage. And the reason he did was that the man who had contacted him was Noah's dad. Noah was a newborn, a little boy, who has Down syndrome. And Noah's dad was blindsided by it. He didn't expect it and didn't know anything about it and didn't know what to think of this. And so he began to dive in. And as he did, he began to chronicle the days of Noah's life. He chronicled all kinds of things. First, the experience of being the parent, right, of finding this out and wondering and being fearful and hoping that things would be all right, and all kinds of things, of learning about physicians and trainers and support staff and all kinds of things you can do so that your child will have a full life, and all kinds of things. He began to blog about it. And when he took the baby in with his wife to have kind of a physical therapy and that sort of thing, to again encourage movement and to give him the richest possible life in the days coming, he began to photograph it. And when he videoed it and put it online, that's when he contacted Moz and said, I need some help to understand how to optimize this in a search way and so on, and what else can I do about it? And suddenly, the office just dived in. Rand did, Jen did, lots of other people did, and he got all kinds of support. And when he was done, people all over the world read Noah's Dad, and when they cannot afford or don't have access to any of the kind of support systems that Noah has access to through his parents, they're following the videos and doing for their children what's being done for Noah.
Wow.
He has leveraged this single idea, and he spread it around the world. I should point out that the goal, if you will, the mission, and the vision for Moz is not that we make esoteric B2B software for people who do search marketing on this planet. What we do is to democratize the spread of ideas on the planet. Think about that, to democratize the spread of ideas. Right? If you can level the playing field so that when you're searching for something, you will find the local shops as well as Macy's, you'll find alternating opinions as well as your governments. We have democratized the spread of ideas on the web, and that's a really important issue. We helped Noah's Dad to do that to a benefit of an awful lot of people. But we didn't do it, again, mindfully saying, oh, that's a good place for us to lean in and do our thing. No, we just kind of, somebody said help.
Yeah.
The answer was, yeah, we can help.
Yeah, it came out of people's hearts instead of off the mission statement.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it came from the top to the bottom.
Yeah.
People just floated it around. And again, that's just one example of
what
the generosity.
What an amazing story.
Yeah. So fun. We have an awful lot of fun over at Moz. It's just a little character itself. We have a mascot that is Roger Mozbot. He's got a little heart on him. He looks like a little robot. And a number of little robots have popped up since.
I'm on the website now. It is. It's
We're
fun.
Looking at the
it's
robot.
Good.
See Roger, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So Roger came to be as our mascot because we were all about fun and, if you will, silliness and joy and all of that. I mean, as I said, we sit around and sing Kumbaya over at Moz. I get not that every culture is going to be about singing Kumbaya, right? Nobody would have accused Steve Jobs of being, you know, tag feet. But he had a very strong culture, and people resonated with it. They joined the company, and they did it to the benefit of that company. So again, culture is important. It doesn't always have to be the same.
Yeah, but when I was at the MozCon, those 1,500 people from all over the world, they paid tuition to be there. I mean, they weren't there singing Kumbaya. They were there sucking your brains out, you know, to learn everything that they could about what this amazing culture has produced in terms of business results on the web.
I hope you also noticed, though, that they all spoke with each other.
Yes, they did.
Right. I'll talk about that in a minute, this idea of building a culture of a brand community and what the importance is of people speaking to each other when they get to your conference. So the next piece here was fun. We created Roger Mozbot because in 2008, in October, we launched something called at the time Linkscape, now known as Mozscape. It is a crawl of the World Wide Web. There are a few folks who have one. Google's got one. Yahoo just sold it to Bing. You get the idea. There are not a whole lot of folks who have a crawl of the World Wide Web.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We've got one. And it was a monster accomplishment. It is not a search engine. It can't respond to you if you search for something. It can't give you that answer. That's a whole other half of this globe here, right? And a whole other nut to crack. But it is a crawl of what does exist, and it tells you how the pages of the web are, if you will, linked together, how they are connected. And it is still how we hop around the web. We hit a certain number of words that are underlined and in blue, and we link to another place. We hop over this link to another place. So until the pages of the web are connected in another way, if you will, we will have, if you will, Mozscape and the value of it. And search engine optimization in that case will continue to be very similar to the way it was in 2000 and 2001. And when we created this Mozscape, nobody said that it didn't work and, it wasn't good and the information we were pulling from this crawl was not useful to marketers. But they said, you're scraping it. You're pulling this information out of Google or Bing or Yahoo or whatever. You're not doing this yourself. And we said, well, no, we are. And we created a number of documents that explained what we were doing and what our bots were called and so on and so forth. And we created Roger Mozbot as a mascot and a visual image, if you will, of the little bot from Moz that runs around the web. And so Roger Mozbot's a busy little guy. He crawls the web on a regular basis, and now there's a fresh crawl, and it's much more quick than it used to be. It used to be every few months, and now it's every, you know, few days and so on and so forth. So over time, that improves. But we had fun with it. We created a cartoon to explain about Mozscape and about how we crawled the web.
Well, I met Roger in person, and he is a fun little guy.
Yes, absolutely.
He
Roger
is a fun little
speak,
guy.
Right, but he does dance, and he has a hug and destroy button on the back. The button is locked in place under hugs.
Yeah, and we know that the inside of Roger has to be out by a certain time frame so that they can regroup and catch a deep breath and not pass out.
This is brilliant. Right. We have to go to another break. I want to give Jillian enough time here in our last segment because the show has gone by so fast. We clearly needed to have her again. But we're heading into a break. Biz Culture Matters, more with Jillian Musick of Moz and SEO Mom. We'll be right back.
Remember Ross Perot, the Texas millionaire who ran for president in the early 90s? Did you realize that he's built multiple companies that sold for billions? Each of his companies held a strong values-based culture. We interviewed his CFO and COO. His insightful comments on the role of culture in business are posted on the Culture News blog at excellentcultures.com. Take a look. You'll gain wonderful insights to building your own excellent cultures on excellentcultures.com. You can also follow us at XLNT Cultures or Facebook/Excellent Cultures.
Off-the-cuff management is old school at the very least. With culture at the root of every business problem or success, data-driven strategic leadership is where today's best businesses are focused. No one knows that better than Excellent Cultures. After 35 years, they are the Northwest's premier strategic leadership firm. Excellent Cultures has the expertise to read the soul of your business and generate abundance. Take the free Biz Culture MRI or ask the experts at excellentcultures.com.
As an executive, CEO, or business owner, do you find yourself struggling with work-life balance and achieving your goals at work and home? Are you overwhelmed in your workload and feel important things aren't getting done? Our coaches specialize in helping leaders like you overcome challenges and build a plan to recenter their life to achieve the balance and success you've always hoped for in your business and your personal life. Ask the experts at Excellent Cultures about the right plan for you.
All right, you guys, we're back. Jillian, Steve, we're having too much fun.
This is a
blast. Absolutely.
This is a fun show. We need to be more serious.
Yeah, this is a blast.
I don't think so.
No, I agree. Yeah. You're right, Jillian.
Anyway. Maxie says, forget it.
That's right. I love it.
And we don't even
have... work somewhere else.
and we don't have the real Roger in the studio today. He's just up on the screen, but it's fun anyway.
I need to tattoo Roger on my other arm.
Yeah, that would be a good... That's trademark infringement.
Uh-oh. We'll talk about that on another show.
That's trademark infringement. All right.
So empathy is the next one, and that is about understanding different ways in which people communicate. We talked a little bit about that when we said, you know, if you don't have different ways for people to run up the ladder in your company, that's probably also not terribly empathetic, right? But empathy is also about, if you will, mindfully making sure that everybody on your staff understands the different communication styles of others. Engineers, for example, like it in general a little darker where they're working. They'd like it much more quiet than the folks over in marketing. So you have to be, if you will, empathetic. We do work in a very large open space, and creating little coves for people to hang out and connect in different ways, understanding different communication styles when engineers and marketers and the bridge folks that we, you know, call that kind of speak both languages get together. Those are important things. Putting in place people, systems, and communication processes that understand and are empathetic to the different styles of human beings, critically important. And that would go from physical abilities to emotional abilities to intellectual abilities, and certainly your communication styles.
And we do this because we care, not because we want to be government compliant. Right, Jillian?
I would say we probably never even looked at a government compliance book, even to this day. I'm sure the folks in HR now at Moz have had to do that because that's just part of the rules of the game once the company gets large enough. When I was there, we didn't even have an HR department for many of the years that we were growing the early stage of the company. As we become larger and more formalized, yes, you got to look at it, but you don't do it because it's law. You do it because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
You do it because all of the right things to do will make your company powerful. I mean, Tom Peters used to do this back in the 1980s. He would get on a stage and say, treat yourselves, your people, and your customers very, very well, and you will become filthy, stinking rich. Thank you very much. And he'd walk off stage, and then he'd come back. He said, no, really, that's all I've got to say, and I'll prove it to you. And then he would come up with all these case studies. This is not new. We just have new tools and toys to do it with.
Exactly. Amazing.
Okay. So that empathy, and then finally, exceptional work. You can't run around with a little Roger Moz bot and a cartoon to explain the numbers around Mozscape and all of that unless you got some serious game under the hood. Don't whitewash things. Don't varnish things with silliness. It's disingenuous, and everybody gets it, right? So exceptional work, is this the best possible work you could do? Can you try any harder? Let's give that kind of work and do that because it means something to leave your mark on this planet. All around the world, I have noticed people really do resonate with the same things. They want to speak their truth and be told the truth. They want to work for important ideas to build something valuable on this planet before they leave. And when you have those kinds of folks who say, now I'm not just here for the ride and for a paycheck and to get out of Dodge, and then what I'm doing that's important is somewhere else. When what I do that's important is here in this building, in this office with these people, that's when you get people doing extraordinary work. And it doesn't mean that they shouldn't have a life with art and music and travel and who knows what, family and so on and so forth beyond. It just means that this is one place where they're going to leave their mark on the planet. They're going to do work so good that it does leave a mark. That's what you want to have happen. That's exceptional work. So that's TAGFI, and that's how we built it. I did want to say one thing before we go about community marketing and the tactical ideas around it. It's interesting that we have these new platforms out there on the web in which we have, if you will, defied the laws of gravity. We have a universe unfettered by the laws of math and time. It's extraordinary. But it is not so interesting if you take something and put it on Facebook, and you've got a Facebook page or a Twitter account that's a corporate account, and you have even a million followers. That is actually not interesting. You want to track it as a metric, maybe, but don't put any stock in it. You might put a little more stock in it if they start talking back to you. That becomes interesting, but it becomes really interesting, and it becomes really important, and it is a metric that makes a difference to you, your company, and your people when they start talking to each other. Think of it this way. You are a single dot in the center of a larger circle. The circle runs around you, and again, you are the foci of that circle. Now, a radius line is a single line that goes out and touches any of those 1 million people who happen to have friended you on Facebook because you gave them a coupon. They friended you because you gave them a coupon, not because you're their friend. Get over it. Right? The second thing is, right, they wanted the coupon.
That's huge, done, yeah.
Right? There's nothing else connecting you there. That's the radius. It goes back and forth. And if it comes back at you and they say something to you, well, that's kind of nice, but, well, we'll see. Here's where it really binds. It's when they start talking to each other. Yeah. One talks to the one next to him who happens to know the one three down from him. So now they're talking and they've connected two lines between them and three and four. And think of it weaving like, I don't know, like a web of hair. One hair I can break, but an entire braid of thick stuff, all tightly woven one to the next, entwined around all the people of this circle. So many of them speaking to so many others, you can't break that one. If one of them begins to pull away, the 30, 40, 50, 80, 100 hairs connected to them, those lines will pull them back into the fold. With community, understanding, with empathy, with this thing about the conversation. And when they come to your house to have the conversation about being who they are and what they do and what they're interested in and all of that, that's when you have a real brand community when they've come to your house to have the party. MozCon is one of those parties. We talk to them. Yes, we do. And they soak it up like a sponge. And they do talk back to us. They will give us questions and we'll answer. And they'll give us ideas, you know, down to the stage and so on. And they'll be broadcast to the others. But more important than anything, they speak to each other. They network, they connect, they share experiences, and they answer each other's questions. They don't just look to Moz to do it. They come to Moz's house, and they leverage all of themselves. That's awesome. You have a community.
What an amazing concept. And to have that happening on the web, what an amazing concept. Well, it
happens online and offline. That's why I mentioned MozCon, right. Because it happens offline as well. So when they come to your house on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and at your conference or any other event you want to throw, right, and they talk to each other, that's when you have yourself a brand community that's worth keeping and building. And it is a better way to live and work together.
It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. That's the goal.
Yeah.
I mean, that is the goal. That's the goal.
That's long-term customers, repeat customers who will buy more from you and will stay with you, and they will broadcast your marketing for you. It's good for your company. It's good for your bottom line.
Right.
I always wring my hands and say, why would you not do this?
Right.
In the short and the long term, this is the way to do it. It makes so much more sense. It beats the devil out of in-your-face advertising.
Doesn't it?
Why we love inbound marketing, and that's what we stand for over at Moz.
And it's interesting, too, because it brought us full circle in the conversation from when we started, where everybody thought telephones were evil because we weren't getting face-to-face anymore. And what you're talking about is create not just creating the conversation, but also creating face-to-face again.
Yes, and it does.
That's beautiful.
These are just new tools and toys to bring us back together.
Absolutely.
Right? I'm a big, big fan of the web. It's what gets me up in the morning and puts me down at night for the last 20 and 30 years. It's an extraordinary thing. We do not kill those with whom we communicate, with whom we share experiences, and so on. Community is built on shared goals, shared values, and shared experience. And shared experience trumps the other by a country mile.
Absolutely.
Right, the men who stood shoulder to shoulder at 11-11-11 went to each other's funerals to the last man standing.
Yeah, absolutely. We want to thank you. Thank you for coming on the show, Jillian.
Well, thank you for sharing your heart, Jillian.
Thank you.
I mean, that's what's making the difference. I mean, and the fact to have your heart turned into a business with a culture that came from what you believed all along, and it's living itself out in reality, and real stuff is happening just from a philosophical perspective of what you've turned into tactics and reality is huge.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, yes, I do know how lucky I am.
Absolutely.
And thank you for having me here. It was a real pleasure. If people want to learn more, they can check out CEO Coach at webmasterradio.com. They can certainly check out TagFee at Moz. And they can reach me at JillianMusic@gmail.com.
Perfect. There you go, listeners. You've been listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM. We'll be with you next week, as always. Thank you, Jillian. Have a great afternoon. Bye-bye.
ExcellentCultures.com is always interviewing leaders committed to cultural leadership, excellence, and change. These leaders, like Russell Freeman, Ross Perot's COO, and Bob Hinton, CPA and Moss Adams Managing Partner, have world-class ideas. As advocates for creating a strong corporate culture that builds people and serves customers with excellence, they share breakthrough business ideas. Gain insights from Russell, Bob, and others on the Culture News blog at excellentcultures.com.
Off-the-cuff management is old school at the very least. With culture at the root of every business problem or success, data-driven strategic leadership is where today's best businesses are focused. No one knows that better than Excellent Cultures. After 35 years, they are the Northwest's premier strategic leadership firm. Excellent Cultures has the expertise to read the soul of your business and generate abundance. Take the free Biz Culture MRI or ask the experts at excellentcultures.com.
Has business taken over your life? Are you living to work or working to live? Stress, broken marriages, neglected relationships, and poor health are symptoms of a life out of balance. The right coaching plan can have transformational impact on the quality of your performance at work, depth of relationships at home, and personal sense of well-being. Ask the experts at Excellent Cultures how coaching can help you maximize your life and optimize your work. Stop struggling to survive. Ask the experts at Excellent Cultures how coaching can help you maximize your life and optimize your work.
Over there? Over there's the water. Whoosh, whoosh. And look at all this stuff I'm standing on. It's called sand, and it's everywhere.
This woman may sound silly to you and me.
It's made up of little tiny pieces of rocks. Teeny little pieces of rocks.
But to her 2-year-old son exploring the world around him, she makes perfect sense.
How does it feel when you touch the sand? Is it warm?
Uh-huh.
It's hard to hold in your hand, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. They want to learn, so follow their lead. Take simple, everyday moments, like sorting laundry or playing on the beach, and turn them into learning moments.
Is this water?
No.
Very good. This is sand. Oh, no, it's not food. It's sand. We don't eat sand.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. Find out how at pornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Remember Ross Perot, the Texas millionaire who ran for president in the early 90s? Did you realize that he's built multiple companies that sold for billions? Each of his companies held a strong values-based culture. We interviewed his CFO and COO. His insightful comments on the role of culture in business are posted on the Culture News blog at excellentcultures.com. Take a look. You'll gain wonderful insights to building your own excellent cultures on excellentcultures.com. You can also follow us at XLNTCultures or Facebook/Excellent Cultures.
Off-the-cuff management is old school at the very least. With culture at the root of every business problem or success, data-driven strategic leadership is where today's best businesses are focused. No one knows that better than Excellent Cultures. After 35 years, they are the Northwest's premier strategic leadership firm. Excellent Cultures has the expertise to read the soul of your business and generate abundance. Take the free Biz Culture MRI or ask the experts at excellentcultures.com.
As an executive, CEO, or business owner, do you find yourself struggling with work-life balance and achieving your goals at work and home? Are you overwhelmed in your workload and feel important things aren't getting done? Our coaches specialize in helping leaders like you overcome challenges and build a plan to recenter their life, to achieve the balance and success you've always hoped for in your business and your personal life. Ask the experts at Excellent Cultures about the right plan for you.
Imagine a friend has just told you they were diagnosed with a mental illness. What would you do? Awkward. Isn't it? But what's even more awkward is, if you're not there for them, they'll be less likely to recover. Mental illness. What a difference a friend makes. To learn more, go to whatadifference.org. This message is brought to you by the Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.